Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online podcast. At GVC, our mission is simple. We are loving God, loving people, and loving life. I know this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you stay to the end to hear about how you can connect with us. Are you ready to get into it? Here we go.
Everybody, good morning. We're so glad to be with you this morning on this last message called Extraordinary Relationships. Obviously, we are not here live and in person, but we pre-recorded today's message. Thank you just again for your help and your support and allowing us to be gone away. We have some minister friends. The husband or the pastor, he has got some serious health issues, and so we are actually down in Tennessee filling in for him this weekend. And so, again, thank you for just allowing us to get away. But we're excited about this message. I have the privilege of being able to be ministering with my wife. And so it's going to be an exciting journey this morning. It's going to be fun. Amen. And so we're talking about extraordinary relationships. And so let me just kind of preface this before we get started. Number one, we're going to talk about men's needs and women's needs. And so, therefore, ladies, when we're talking to you, we're talking about the needs of the husband. And men, when we're talking to you, we're talking to you about the needs of the wife. And so we're not just trying to get in your corner and rally with you and say, this is what you need. We're letting you know what they need. And so, again, it's something that's important for us to understand and take inventory so that we can make the best investment in our relationships. And also, with that being said, there are some things that we'll talk about, just kind of giving you a heads up. It will be a little bit more in adult themes, if you will, but we'll try to keep it extremely rated G in the context of how we talk about this, but just kind of giving you a heads up that your kids might ask you some questions down the road, but nevertheless, you'll be able to navigate that. So anyways, we're talking about extraordinary relationships. And when it comes to extraordinary relationships, they don't happen by accident. Relationships are things that we have to invest in, we have to build in, and we have to maintain our marriages. And really, for that matter, the healthiest relationships are ones that are maintained. And when you maintain that relationship, what you do is you reduce the risk of that relationship being jeopardized. And so once again, the enemy is trying to always set up snares and snags for us. And so as we maintain that, again, we minimize the risk. And so the most important part or most important issue of our marriages is, number one, that we have a personal relationship with Jesus. Only God can meet our deepest needs and our desires. It's only God that can help us find acceptance and find our identity and experience security and actually come to discover our purpose. And so, therefore, as we get married, again, the number one thing that is necessary is that we have a relationship with Jesus. And if we don't have that relationship with Jesus, then what we do is we start to push those expectations over on to our spouse. Because you see, there are needs and desires and there's a void on the inside that only Jesus can fill. And therefore, if we don't really have a solid relationship with God, once again, we'll cause those needs and desires to be pushed off onto our spouse. And what we do is we actually set our marriages up for failure when we do that. Sure. So once again, Jesus, or I should say, your spouse cannot be Jesus for you. You need to have your personal relationship with him. And so, in that being said, you know, God said it's not good for man to be alone. And so if we can meet our own needs, obviously we wouldn't have the need or the desire to get married. And so let's dig into this. Let's get into the needs, first of all, of a woman.
So men and women both have needs, and we all know if you've been around on this earth for any length of time that you can tell that men and women are very different, and especially in what they need. And so it's important to be attentive to these things instead of just push them to the side and say, you know what, I can't ever do that. But growing in all of these areas will only make your marriage better and enrich your life and your family. Yeah. But for a woman's core needs, the number one thing she's going to need is security. And over in Ephesians 5, it refers to the standard. It sets the standard for us as women. And so it says to respect her husband the way she would respect Jesus. And so that can go a lot of different ways, just in every day, to respect him no matter what, at whatever cost. I'm going to hold my mouth and I'm going to do what Jesus would want me to do, or respond right, the way that Jesus would really want me to.
And the standard for men, really, he said, is to give your life for her, just as Jesus gave his life for us. So that simply means that, guys, we've got to love her more than we love ourselves. And that means that we're going to have to make sacrifices for our wives.
For sure. So there are three ways you can meet your wife's needs for security. So number one is communicate your commitment to sacrifice for her. So over in Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. He gave himself for her.
That's right. And so nothing should be more important than the relationship with your wife.
Right.
And so that means, like I said, we're going to have to be willing to make sacrifices. That means, guys, you know, we like to hobby. We like to hobby well. So that means that that might cause me to sacrifice going fishing or hunting or golfing or the promotion or the other opportunities. Again, I've got to be attentive to meet her needs. And again, just even with that being said, to understand that we put the other person's needs first. And this goes both ways when it comes to a husband and wife, because oftentimes, even in the regards of children, sometimes it's real easy to put children and the priorities of our kids above our spouses. And that becomes a recipe for disaster, and especially when you have blended families. And again, this is one of those things that's sometimes difficult to hear or understand, because, you know, we've heard it said before, well, you know, I've had my kids before you, I'll have my kids after you.
Right.
But once again, that spouse needs to know that they're priority number one. And there's coming a day when those children will leave the house and you're left with each other. So once again, we're making sacrifices for one another. Amen. And so number two, being sensitive to your wife's needs. Men, we've got to be sensitive to our wife's needs. And so that means that if there's a lack of romance, if we a lack to be attentive to her needs, it's communicating something. It simply says this. It says, I don't think about you. You're not on my mind and you're not on my heart. And so we've got to be attentive to communicate to their needs in the sensitivity of our wife's needs.
So the next thing would be, she needs a faithful provider. Mm-hmm. So she needs to know that she's going to be provided for. It's not the size of the paycheck, but it's the size of your commitment to provide and to lead your home.
That's right. And it's so important to be a leader of your home. And we'll talk more about that, because, again, that's not to be a dictator. That's not to be, you know, this is the rules that I set, you know, listen to me roar. No, it's, again, leading well, leading like Jesus would in the home. And as I said, we'll get into that a little bit more. But number two, this is a biggie. Again, number two, talking about your wife's needs. Guys, this is a tough one for us. But listen, in regards to everything that we're talking about, there is the operation of faith. And so sometimes, just in the context of interacting with your spouse, it requires you to act in faith sometimes. Acting in faith means that, you know, sometimes it don't look like, don't feel like, but I'm choosing to act like this anyways, or doing it even when I don't want to. So number two, a wife or a woman needs soft, non-sensual affection. What that means is, the more non-sensual, soft affection that a woman gets, the more sensual she becomes. So it seems like to us, oh, come on, baby, you know what I'm thinking about. Listen, sometimes she just wants your affection. She just wants to be held. She needs your physical affection, but she also needs your soft affection. And therefore, oftentimes when we're more affectionate, what it does is it causes her to be more physically affectionate. Again, she just needs that soft touch. I can remember just not too long ago, you know, we were in the kitchen, and my wife, she came up to me and she hugged me. And as she's hugging me, she goes, oh, isn't this nice? Isn't this nice? And it was just like, yeah, this is nice.
He's like, yeah, okay. Are you done now?
But what was she communicating? She was saying, I just like this. I like this soft touch. I like your arms around me. I feel secure. I feel loved when all you do is you come up and give me a hug. And once again, those soft, non-sensual touches can be the thing that leads into more physical affection.
That's true. The next one is having open and honest communication. So women don't want grunts and groans like when you're with all the guys. But how she connects to your world and your heart is through communication. So when your wife says to you, what did you do today? She doesn't just want the events, just a short version, but she wants the feelings. She wants the details. And so you want her to open up with more intimacy, but she needs you to open up your communication with her. And so the more communication, the more that she's going to respond to you as the husband and with what you want.
Right. And sometimes that's not always easy, again, because they say it this way. They say that a man typically speaks 1,000 words. A woman speaks, how does that say? Is it 10,000 words?
I think so.
And a woman speaks 20,000 words?
Something like double. Yeah.
Double, something like that. So you think about it. I can't remember the actual number, but if you think about it, you know, us guys, we go to work, we go out on the golf course, we do whatever we do. And because we don't communicate as much, you know, throughout the day of our work life or whatever the case is, we express or use up all of our words. And so when we get home, you know, we're just ready to have something to eat. We're ready to sit in front of the TV because, you know, we've done all the talking that we wanted to talk. And she's just getting revved up. And she's like, hey, tell me about your day. And so therefore, once again, you have to be intentional to communicate and share your heart. And that communicates, again, that you're important to me. And then also, with that being said, where are we at? Number four, we said that we'd come back to this. But a woman desires to have a leader. A woman does not want to be dominated, but they want their husbands to love, to be loving and to initiate the direction of the home. In other words, she wants to know that you take interest in not just what you want to do, but that you take interest in the children, in the romance, in the finances, in the spiritual matters of life, that you're actually making an investment. That means that you begin the conversations. Once again, it's easy for us men to say, well, you take care of the kids. She wants us to initiate the conversation when it comes to the children. How do we discipline them? How do we address this issue? She wants us to initiate the conversation of the budget and the finances, to know that we are aware of what's going on rather than all the weight of the budget and the financial pressures to be on her shoulders. She wants us to initiate the conversation concerning spiritual matters. In other words, she wants us to initiate the family devotion. She wants us to initiate the family prayer time or praying together as a husband and wife. And I've heard this time and time again, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but in regards to the man initiating that spiritual context of the home, once again, the wife is looking for the leader, but I've heard this time and time again where men have said this, I'm just looking for a Christian woman. I need a woman to help me, you know, serve God or have a better relationship with God. If you're looking for a woman to help you serve God better, then you're not ready for a relationship yet. If you're looking for that woman, if you're single and you're saying, I need a woman to help me know God or to keep me disciplined, then you are not ready for that woman yet, because God can't present you to a woman if you're not prepared as the man for God to present you to her. So once again, God wants us, and the woman desires for us to be a leader in the home. Amen. So we real quickly and briefly went over some core values or four needs of a woman. But let's dive into the four core needs of a man. So once again, in regards to marriage, we desperately need a relationship with Jesus. As I said already, the woman is not going to be our spiritual leader. We are going to be her spiritual leader. But in order for us to be the leader in the home, we've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Amen?
Amen. And so the first thing that a man needs is honor and respect. So over in Ephesians 5, it talks about that. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Paul means you should respect your husband like you would Jesus.
That's right. And so this is kind of one of those areas where it requires faith. You remember, guys, I said to you, you know, she requires or desires soft, non-sensual affection. And so for us guys, we're like, I don't want that. You know, I just want to get to the good stuff. You know, so in faith, you say, you know what? I'm going to serve my wife. I'm going to do this because I'm doing it to honor her. Well, in the same context for us men, ladies, men desire and need to be honored. Men gravitate to places where they get honor and they get respected.
True.
And your husbands, obviously, they're imperfect. I'm imperfect. I'm the first one to say I miss it all the time. But when it comes to our imperfections, you've got to allow us men to fail. You've got to allow us to miss the mark, to allow God to begin to equip and develop us and grow us. Your role as a woman is not to correct him as a man. You're not his mom. You're not his teacher. But in other words, you're there to do what? To support him. Now, I'm not saying don't confront him. Don't address those things. But once again, allow God to be the enforcer. Allow God to help him. In fact, for that matter, if you're recognizing that your husband is missing it or failing, one of the greatest things that you can do is get into your prayer closet and just begin to uplift him in prayer and to pray for him and to say, God, get him. Get him, Lord. I need you just to make some changes and to get his heart tender in those areas of his life. And so again, you allow God to begin to work on you. You allow the Holy Spirit to begin to help your husband. And so honor him. And as you do that, it will help him become the man that you desire him to be. In fact, for that matter, men become in the atmosphere of honor. So in other words, what you could say it this way, honor your husband beyond the place that he is. Honor him in the place that you desire him to be. And oftentimes men will arise to those occasions to the level that you'll honor him. It's always easy to pick out the faults and the failures and to say what's wrong. But the heart of faith says, I'm going to honor you for what I know you can be and what I know is on the inside. If you'll honor him, he'll rise to that occasion and become the man that you desire.
And that makes me think, you know, over in the Bible, it says, cast your cares upon me for I care for you. Mm-hmm. Well, when you look that up, it's your anxieties, anything that's worrying you. So that's any relationship. If somebody's, you don't like the way they're acting or they're talking or behaving or just something's bothering you and you're like, I can't get past this. Or maybe it's their walk with God and you want them to be stronger than what they are or just whatever it is. You can take that care, pray about it, take it to the Lord, and it goes so far, much further than you trying to address it yourself right. And just being irritated about it, and then it becomes nagging, and it's this constant battle all the time, and you always want to bring it up, and the minute you start is when everything, all hell breaks loose.
Right.
But the best thing to do is what Jesus told us to do. Bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your care, your concern, and let him take care of it because he's fully capable
right.
to take care of it. And when Jesus takes care of it, it'll be the number one, the thing that you wanted. It was the desire of your heart
right.
and it will just unfold before your eyes and you'll think, oh my goodness.
Sure.
There's so many times that that's happened in our home. You just go and you pray about it and it's not long.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't take a long time. And that person in the home, that relationship will be different. Something will change and it's more, they're acting more like God or they're more about the word. And it's like, I didn't even say anything, but Jesus took care of that for me.
Right.
And we can do that for ourselves too. It's not always us looking at our husbands or the next person,
right.
But it's covering his faults. And that's how you cover faults. You just pray about it.
Right.
You don't constantly go to somebody and nag them about it and say, let me show you and tell you how stupid you were today and don't do that again. And you know, mm-hmm. that even works parents with children. Now there's obviously correction that needs to happen, mm-hmm. but there's a manner that you can do it that is God's manner And how God doesn't approach you and come to you and nag you right. about how stupid you are.
Right.
He comes to you warm. The Bible says that God, when he comes, that upon approach, like you're coming closer to him because he doesn't come in a mean way. He comes with love to you and he draws you into him.
Sure.
And so if we would just learn to be husbands and wives like that, children, obviously with parents, but we're talking about women to men, and a lot of times the women can get naggy mm-hmm. because you get irritated and you think, I've got to fix this now. But you cover his faults, and that's how you focus on his strengths, mm-hmm. not his faults. And the devil wants us to constantly think about the worst.
Right.
The worst qualities in our spouse. Well, we all have bad qualities. We're not all perfect.
Right.
And so the devil wants you to focus on what is messed up and wrong. Instead of what is good and healthy.
Well, you know, even with that, you know, you said covering the faults of one another, or how, say, women can be known to be a little more naggy, if you will. But it doesn't matter the behavior, whether it's being grumpy or agitated or frustrated or just kind of hateful, or if it's being naggy. All of those things are really instigated by the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's instigated by the thoughts.
Yeah.
He brings the thoughts for you to entertain,
mm-hmm.
and then you give place to the emotion, whether it's you're frustrated, again, just you want to say something, whatever the case it might be. But then what ends up happening is that if you'll give place to that enough, it becomes a habit. And so therefore, it just becomes the go-to. In other words, you become agitated, or you become agitated quickly and easily because it's what you've given yourself to over and over and over and over. And so the home begins to expect that out of you. Well, this is how dad acts, or this is how mom acts, mm-hmm. Because you've given place to it. Same thing with your mouth. If you give place to it enough, you just get into the habit where basically the devil just has to prompt or push just a little bit, and because you've become so accustomed to it, you just let it go. You say it. And so once again, there's the element of intentionality. We said that extraordinary relationships don't happen by accident. You have to maintain them. You have to maintain your own behavior. And once again, left to ourselves, we'll get ourselves in a rut. We're talking about having a Christ-centered relationship so that once again, we can have the best marriages, the best family experiences. And again, it's a matter of give and take. So, anyways.
Yes, and men want to hear their wives acknowledge what they do.
Yeah.
So again, that's focusing on their strengths.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, number two. Oh, we're back to this one again. Number two, talking about intimacy. Now, again, we said in regards to ladies, you know, they need the non-sensual affection. And we men have to be willing to do so with the intent of not going physical, or maybe it would lead there. But ladies, when it comes to men, men desire intimacy. They desire the physical touch. God gave man the need for intimacy, and God gave women the gift of intimacy. And if you think about it, intimacy is the magnet between a man and a woman. It's what draws them together. And again, you know, I'm talking because, you know, you're a man, you can understand this, you know. But, you know, when it comes to men are more visually stimulated. They're more visually, physically driven than women. And so us men, we're affected by what we see. So obviously us guys, you know, when you ladies, when you got the facial mask on at night, you know, and and you got the flannel pajamas on and the big heavy, you know, what do you call that thing?
Robe,
you know, that don't really do anything for us, you know, less is more for us, you know, and so we're physically, visually stimulated. And so ladies, you've got to be mindful of that. And for that matter, you'll never be able to match libidos. In other words, men have a greater drive than women do. And we've got to understand that. Ladies, you've got to understand that. Now, that's not in all cases, but in most of the times, men have a greater drive than the women do. And I was saying this to my wife, and she's like, oh, well, I don't know. And we were kind of going back and forth before we started talking.
It's everybody.
Not everybody. But listen, you'll never match libidos. And what I mean by that is that you'll very seldom have all the stars aligned where, you know, you're on the same page. If that were the case, I mean, maybe four times a year, you know, I mean, the population would be a whole lot smaller if that was the case. So here's the point behind that, that we'll have to be intentional. In other words, men, we sacrifice ourselves or make sacrifices to serve the women. Ladies, there are times that, you know, there's sacrifices that are made that we make for one another, and sometimes it's in the physical intimacy department. Amen?
It's a department now.
Yeah, you know. Well, once again, we got kids in the room, so we're trying to be, you know, yeah, you understand what
respectful.
I'm saying. Respectful. There you go. So once again, we're talking about meeting the needs of our spouse, and we do that intentionally, and we do that regardless, all right?
Amen.
Number three, the needs of a man is this, finding friendship. Men want to find or want a best friend in their wife. They want somebody that they can communicate with and do life together with. And so what that might require is for you to come out of your world to come into his. Now, once again, this is a give and take, but in the context of men are looking for and desire to have a buddy in their wife. In other words, they want to do life with their spouse, if it's going fishing or hunting or golfing or something of that matter. In fact, for that matter, you'll find that your husband opens up in the area of his emotions and feelings to a greater degree in those times that he's having fun with you. And also with that being said, he desires to have that friend in you to do life with. And that's something that really also needs to be taught. Let me just speak to that for just a minute for the sake of, I know that there's a lot of relationships. I see this in the church oftentimes throughout the years. And that is that, you know, the guys have his friends and she has her friends. Now, listen, men, you need to have friends. And ladies, you need to have friends, ones that you can actually connect with and do life with and that are enriching and edifying and help you become what God has called you to be. But when there becomes an off balance, and that is where men desire the relationship with their buddies more so than the wife. Well, if you find a man or a woman for that matter that has a greater desire to spend time with his buddies, or that's where he truly finds fulfillment, enrichment, then what that tells me is that he never saw a father model a healthy relationship with his wife. So therefore, he doesn't know what it is to look to his wife and his spouse to be the friend. And so once again, my point in saying all that is that there is a balance, but yet God designed your spouse to be your best friend. Amen?
Amen.
Number four.
And so the next one is they need support at home. So that means men are happiest when they are domestically centered, even if they work outside the home. So women have the gift of nesting and turning a house into a home. It reminds me, on our fireplace, we have a plaque and it says, this family makes this house a home. Husband, moms and dads, children come in together, those relationships. But the husband and wife are the number one relationship that our kids ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to get it figured out
right.
And be responsible with it.
Amen. Well, you know, you also talk about the nesting or what the man desires the domesticated home. And again, for sometimes or there are women that will hear that and hear that as being sexist. And really it's just a matter of how God made men and women. And when we were putting this together, I was thinking about us for that matter. We've always had just a smaller home. And obviously with three kids, you know, this year we'll have three teenagers in the home. And because our house has always been small, and, you know, one comes in, sets something down on the counter, the other person comes in, sets something down, next person, next person, next person. Before you know it, you know, the counter's cluttered, the sink is filled with dishes, there's stuff here, there's stuff there. And I mean, it just takes a matter of a minute and the house is turned upside down. And obviously that's just, you know, that's just living in your house, obviously. But thinking of my wife, you know, there's been times where she'll stay up late and she'll clean the kitchen, she'll do the dishes, get everything put in its place. And I may have went to bed with things being out of order, but I wake up to a house where everything is clear, put in its place. And I don't know that I've said it or expressed it. And if I haven't, then I should. But really, I get up and it's just like, huh, there's something about coming in to the living space and everything is in its place. There's such peace and comfort and security. And really, again, it's just a husband saying, wow, my wife loves her family enough and loves me enough to provide a home. And so, again, we're just simply bringing up a few different areas of needs of a husband and wife. And so let's conclude with this. Jesus is the only one that can meet our deepest desires, our deepest needs. It's important for us to meet the needs of our husband and our wife, but Jesus needs to be at the center of that. Man, if we have the idea or have a heart that I will serve my wife, if you wives, if you have the desire to serve your husband, the Bible says again in Ephesians chapter 5, we've referenced it, if you'll honor and respect your husband, husbands, if you'll love your wives, then once again, we'll have a marriage made in heaven. We'll have a marriage that we can only dream of. But it'll take work and it will take time. So praise God. Keep working at it. It's never over. And so it will take the investment, but it's well worth the investment. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, listen, we've enjoyed ministering this together. I hope you got something out of this. So let's just take a moment to pray, if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every single person that is here today, that is watching online. We thank you that you are building relationships that will last. God, I ask that you would bring to our attention, open up the eyes of our understanding, that if there's areas that we need to give attention to, that we'll be open and honest with ourselves and with you, and even with our spouse, that we'll be willing and obedient to do what you've asked us to do. And God, anything that you commission or direct us to do, it's always for our good. It's always for the better. And so I thank you that we'll be humble, that we'll swallow our pride, that we'll choose to forgive, that we'll walk in love. And God, we ask you to mend hurts and to make our marriages everything that you designed them to be. For it is a match made in heaven. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, hey, guys, we love you. We hope you got something out of this morning. And we'll see this coming Wednesday. All right? God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Well, that's it. We are so glad you joined us today, and we hope to see you again soon. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider giving to our ministry so we can continue the work we do? You can donate securely online at gvchurch.tv/give. As always, you can connect with us anytime through our social media sites or online at our website, gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.